Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we've got two chiefs. So we got Chief Joel Schultz in Colorado and Chief Ralph Ornelas over in California, and he was also formerly with L.A. County Sheriff's Office. So thanks, gentlemen, for being on the show. We appreciate it. And look for the Audible listeners that are watching maybe, you know, podcast or maybe radio, and you can't see the video portion of the show. Chief Joel Schultz has got this, like, beautiful red bow tie on. He's got a nice jacket on and a nice dress shirt button all the way to the top. I mean, he's really raised the bar of the show. And Chief Ralph, at least, has got a collared shirt on. I'm wearing my Leo Roundtable t-shirt. So anyhow, thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Hey, shout out to our sponsors, guys. We have Gulls, our title sponsor at Gulls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And yes, we're on satellite radio right now. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our arm sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And yes, thanks to them, we're streaming to over a million followers right now on social media. And TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. So if you want cool gear, like the shirt I'm wearing, coffee mugs, like the one behind me, go there. We don't charge anything extra. In fact, when I order the stuff, I do it the same with Ralph. Ralph wants a coffee cup. He's holding his little styrofoam cup up too. But we don't charge anything extra for the gear. We're just trying to get our stuff out there. So we don't make a dime off of anything in the store. So check it out. And, you know, you may find something that you like. Also, FishOrlandoBass.com. Zach has got a bass fishing charter in Orlando, and it's right next to Disney. So look, when you're dropping the wife and the kids or the grandkids off at Disney World, you know, steer over and hook up with Zach at the bass fishing charter, FishOrlandoBass.com. Or if you're feeling more adventurous, you can do the Florida alligator hunting, where you catch and relocate the wild Florida alligator. It's a great opportunity. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFB.com. Thanks for carrying our content. Brian, also Ray Dietrich with FormerLawman.com, and our own Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about? We just touched on it yesterday, but Dan Bongino is leaving government service, and I believe going back to do his radio show. And people say podcast. It's really a huge radio show that is syndicated by Cumulus Radio. So we'll be covering that first. And then we've got Sanford police officer arrested on 80 felony charges in an alleged off-duty detail fraud. And I mean, this guy, it said that he worked for a professional standards, which is, you know, internal affairs. So I want to get some input from you guys on that one. We got 911 calls and body cam released after officers shoot a Las Vegas man attempting to hit them with a vehicle. Police officer pinned and dragged by a driver during a traffic stop. We got a Queens senior, so a civilian, begins a four-year sentence on gun charges after a justified self-defense shooting. You know, New York's got all these permit requirements, and the guy got jammed up. An armed suspect dies when he crashes into a house after shooting at deputies during a high-speed chase. There was a pit involved before he crashed into the house. I definitely want to cover that one today. A Texas officer indicted for murder after an on-duty crash kills two children. We got Waterbury detective justified in returning fire after being shot by carjacking suspect, and then Missouri sheriff accused of ordering deputies to stop their DWI enforcement. So, and guys, we can take any of this out of order if you want to. The first topic, you know, with Dan Bongino, it should be short and sweet. The GatewayPundit.com is the source. Here is who is poised to become sole FBI deputy director after Dan Bongino's departure. So the Gateway Pundit reported this. There have been some other ones, too. I thought this was the best article. Dan Bongino on Wednesday confirmed that he's resigning from the FBI and that he will be leaving in January. Of course, he was the deputy director for the FBI, working alongside but under Kash Patel. And here's a quote from that he made on X, which is formerly Twitter. I will be leaving my position with the FBI in January. I want to thank President Trump, AG Bondi, and Director Patel for the opportunity to serve with purpose. And most importantly, I want to thank you, my fellow Americans, for the privilege to serve you. God bless America and all those who defend her. And it goes on to say that, according to reports, FBI co-deputy director Andrew Bailey, and he was appointed recently, he's at least poised to ascend to Bongino's position as the deputy director without there being two people in that role. and he will assume additional responsibilities, including overseeing the daily operations, making key decisions. He was hired as co-deputy director back in September, and he served as attorney general in Missouri before that. And it's got some other stuff they're talking about, but they're talking about Bongino going back to do his podcast, which really means the radio show and stuff. And I don't know how you guys think. You know, I call it the Rush Limbaugh factor. You know, a lot of people wanted Rush Limbaugh to run for government office. He was loved by so many people. And he said, look, this is what I do, and I want to do it well. And he could do the other, but no, you know what? A lot of people can do government work, but not a lot of people can do what Rush Limbaugh did. And Dan Bongino, he had a great thing going, and he stepped away and gave that all up and all that money and stuff in order to do the FBI. Well, actually, you know, whether it was the FBI, we all thought he was going to be in charge of the Secret Service, but he gave all that up. So, I don't know, you know, how happy was, you know, in that role, because, you know, instead of just being a one-man show, now he's, you know, you're working under an AG, under, you know, the FBI, you know, under Cash Patel, the director, and there's other restrictions on. It's not like you can just be catch the wind or have informants like he's famous for doing and give the information out. Now you've got restrictions and limits on what you can do and say and stuff. So he's going to go back and do what I think he's best at, to be honest with you. And I think the country is better served by him serving back in his old role. You know, he's got that huge audience. But what do you guys think, Chief Schultz?
I'm still trying to figure out Donald Trump. He is such a chess player, and if you've got a co-director and you've got that kind of indicates in the first place that there wasn't going to be a long tenure for Bongino. Right. And if he was going to go in and be a reform guy, 10 months is not long enough to move the needle on that organization. So I think Trump probably had some kind of playbook that he was following, maybe just to satisfy his Fox News type following, to get attention to the FBI with Bongino, because Patel certainly has a following and certainly has an appeal in terms of being a reformer. But he didn't have the built-in audience that Bongino did. And so I think Trump got everything he wanted to get out of the Bongino appointment, and his usefulness is over, and he wants to get back to doing what he's best at.
You know, Bongino was not with Fox when that happened. He left Fox.
No, but it's the same, but it's the audience. You know what I'm saying? It's the audience.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I think that, you know, when he came into the position, I believe the relationship between the president and Bongino, I remember listening to the podcast and when he said he was going to take this. And I really believe that it was for a short period of time. But also, you know, let's face it, politics is ugly. And I believe Dan might have wanted things to go in different directions. And, you know, and also you look at September, a co-deputy director. So, you know, I mean, Dan's a very strong personality. And I think that there's some things that maybe he might have wanted to go, because, you know, I know somebody who is with the DOJ who just left DOJ working under Hamid Dhillon. And I heard some things where Dan likes Cash Patel a lot. He respects the president a lot, but I think there's other issues that sometimes, as the Dr. Jones said, you don't realize until you're in the House how difficult it is to move the equation to make corrections about a certain entity or an organization. And I'm really going to miss Dan, because I think he's got the ganas and the strength and the moxie to do things. But politics is tough. Politics is tough.
Yeah. So I'm Chief Schultz, go ahead.
Well, I like this Bailey guy. He's super in line with the right. I won't say right wing, because he's what most people would say is not just moderate. He's pretty ultra conservative, and he showed that in Missouri, my home state. In fact, he graduated from the University of Missouri as I did. Just he went to law school and made something of himself.
come on, Doc.
So he'll, you know, he'll fill in the gap. That's there's not going to be a policy shift with Bongino's departure. And he did, you know, wrestle a little bit with Bondi, even though they had good words for each other at the end, but they tangled over the Epstein files a little bit. So
I didn't bring that up, but So and it could be kind of a bull in a china shop kind of a thing too. I'm you know what, I have not been able to watch the Bongino show since he left. I it's just not the same. So I am looking forward to him resuming that role. And I think it's
me too.
Great for the people. Well, guys, up for our first commercial break. We are going to be doing a Gold's gift card giveaway as well. More information about that coming up. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. And hey, we're talking about Gold's at Gold's.com. And you know, as police officers, we all love to buy gear, right? And when you throw the online option, it's like limitless. But I want to remind everybody about what's really important here. When you're going to buy gear or really buy anything, support the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know if a company does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls.com. And for the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a coupon code in order to get 15% off your next order. That's good until the end of the year. Radio 15. So type in Radio 15 in order to get that 15% off on most purchases. And also they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. We're going to give away one today. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they would be your new best friends. And they have pants, tactical pants, Gauls.com. All right, guys, now we're going to be talking about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And, you know, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductor Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Try saying that fast 3 times. That's why they came out with CD3. And you know, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the glove. It's helped officers. It used to be tens of thousands of times. Now it's like hundreds of thousands of times with no injuries. And you heard that correctly. No injuries. The glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And we're joined by two chiefs, Chief Ralph Ornelas from California and also Chief Joel Schultz from Colorado. So thanks for being on the show, gentlemen. We left off talking about Dan Bongino. He's leaving the FBI, going back to do a show, the Dan Bongino show. So we're excited about that. And our next story, we've got an update story, Fox 35 Orlando.com. Sanford police officer arrested on 80 felony charges in alleged off-duty detail fraud. So what they did not say is they didn't talk about crimes here in Florida and crimes of moral turpitude, which this would qualify. They'll go for that pension. And so ICE says they didn't say it, but I can pretty much tell you, that's what's going to happen here. Sanford police, these investigators, they arrested one of their own accused of official. And look, let me just stop right now. You know, we all have people that say cops don't need to investigate themselves. You need outside agencies to investigate this and investigate that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, they forget about attorneys and how doctors, roll. So this is one for the good guys. We can regulate and catch around the system for the most part by far works. And this is an example of how well it works. Sanford police, the investigators arrest one of their own. So this guy is for official misconduct and organized fraud. The arrest of Ronnie Neal is the culmination of an investigation that started back in July of 2024. So over a year ago. The backstory, this investigation found that Neal falsified off-duty work to charge the city for hours that he actually did not work, according to the Sanford Police Department. And this investigation started last year, 2024, when the city's finance department said it discovered that there were unpaid vendor accounts and discrepancies in off-duty detail records. Now, Neal, the cop that is getting jammed up, he was actually the off-duty detail coordinator, but that was not his only job. So, you know, like with my agency, Tampa, we have a whole off-duty office and people. I mean, that's like a full-time gig, right? So it must have been a much smaller operation, but he was the off-duty detail coordinator, repeatedly, according to them, failed to provide documentation, according to the investigator. So by November of 2025, so now we're talking, what, a month ago, pattern suggested criminal activity, leading to a formal investigation and Neil being placed on administrative leave in December. Now, Neil, he's a Sanford police officer and has been since 2003, and he's also an investigator in the professional standards unit. So to me, that's saying he's a freaking IA investigator. Allegedly created fictitious, so he lied, off-duty details between October of 2023 and July of 2024. Additional charges may be possible as the investigation continues. They're not even done. This is just what they've got so far. This is horrible. Police Chief Cecil Smith called Neil's actions a betrayal of public trust, saying the officer used his badge as a shield to hide his criminal acts and vowed to hold him accountable. And as I always say, nobody hates a bad cop more than a good cop. And they're going to yank this guy's freaking pension. And, you know, it, the only thing that bothers me is that you can be a good cop for 18 years. And if the last 2 years you do something bad, from years 18 to 20, they're going to yank your whole pension, even the first 18 years and everything. I've always felt a little that was a little unfair, but you're not going to see me taking it for this guy in any way, shape, or form. Commentary on this, guys. We got about almost 4 minutes. Chief Ralph.
You know, first of all, the length of time that this went on, number one, and what is the process of checks and balances of this Officer Neil that a sergeant, a lieutenant doesn't do audits, that other peers don't know what's going on here. And here's got the fox covering the chicken coop and stuff. He's controlling all the money he's coming in, dispersing maybe his buddies, also getting this overtime, special event overtime. And he was a previous professional standards, internal affairs. I got to tell you, you know, yes, I mistrust, basically violates the trust of the public, not only in the trust, but monies. I look at the lack of leadership on this also, the sergeant, lieutenant. And, you know, the chief says some right things, but guess what? I don't know the size of this department, but the chief has to know what's going on here. What is his culpability also, the fact that this went on for so long? And I wonder how much monies was actually funded.
They didn't say. There's a reason why.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I look at, and you know, I want to hear from Joel too, but I just want to say this. It all comes down to checks and balances, audits. You don't give somebody all the authority to run all this special event overtime without somebody overseeing him.
Yeah, good point.
No, Ralph, I agree with you. And I, you know, you always have to ask the question, who's watching the watchers? And, you know, you want your people to be trustworthy, but you don't operate purely on trust. There's got to be checks and balances. So I'm 100% with you. Now, you know, in my experience, and it's probably true with smaller agencies, we're kind of city mouse and country mouse here between Ralph and I. You didn't run, you got authorization and there were policies about off-duty employment, but you didn't run it through the agency. You just collected a check from whoever paid you. So this is foreign to me in terms of the way that it operated. And yeah, kudos to the department for facing the embarrassment of having an officer that did this. But they're also facing the embarrassment of having this happen 75, 80 times before it finally came to light. And so, yeah, this audit process that should have been ongoing, as Ralph talked about, apparently was missing. So it's embarrassing all the way around, and, you know, good on them for going after the prosecution. Mm-hmm. And it could be, yeah, I'd be curious to know what the dollar amount of loss is, Chip. That's going to be super felony.
You know, not to give a free plug here, because we used to have a company or two that this is what they do. They come in and they take over the off-duty operations for a police department or a sheriff's office, and it doesn't cost the agency anything. They make their money off the gigs, and they take full responsibility for everything. So another support for agencies like that, like if I was Sanford police right now, at this point, I would get somebody else to come in and take over, because this is just such an embarrassment and so bad. But guys, we're coming up on our second commercial break. And on the break, I will talk more about the Goals gift card. But if you're watching the show on the stream, type in the word Goals. Give us your email address so I can email you the card if you win it. The free $50 Goals gift card giveaway that's happening today if you haven't won in the last 90 days. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection, because selling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at AeroPrecisionUSA.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence now being tailored for the civilian customer, which means that now you guys can start getting your hands on some of the Primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less. When you can have the best, head over to AeroPrecisionUSA.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz in Colorado and Chief Ralph Ornelas in California. And man, we're all over the place. I'm in Florida. We got, you know, Schultz is in Colorado, and Ralph, he never did leave California. He's like, you know, you're just like embedded there. So yeah, we got the almost the whole country covered. So are we done with the last topic? You guys ready to go to the first video? Because I'm going to take things out of order. Is that good? Chief Schultz, do you have something else you wanted to add? Are you selling your own line of tokenizer or something?
No, I've already forgotten what we talked about anyway.
Okay. All right. So I'm going out of order, guys. I'm going to go on the video three. This is the guy that ran from the cops, and we did the pit, and he crashed it into the side of the house, and he died. But he didn't die like people would suspect from the article anyhow. So Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel, called This Is Butter. Armed suspect dies when he crashed into a house after shooting at deputies during a high-speed chase.
He just hit my vehicle. 21, I just rammed him. He had a pole. He's still going. 21, wrecked down the house. He wrecked down the house.
Not very often you get to pursue someone while taking incoming fire. And this guy, he was, you know, he was not discriminatory with just one cop. He didn't care who you were. He's shooting at you, right? So, and I like the name of the county. It's called McCracken County. You know, like the crack. You know what the Kraken is, right? Okay, I see Ralph nodding his head. The Kraken's that beast that, you know, that was back in the folklore with like Zeus and Apollo and, you know, all that stuff. So,
release the Kraken.
Yeah, exactly. So you know what I'm talking about. So McCracken County, Kentucky. I can already tell now Chief Schultz is making note. He's going to look that up after the show's over. So are you familiar with the Kraken, Chief Schultz? Are you into that stuff? Or,
you know, I've studied a lot of mythology, but no, that doesn't ring a bell with me.
Boy, the beast.
But then, like I said, beast. I don't remember what I did 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, they held the head of Medusa. And they used a virgin to lure the Kraken out of the water, out of the ocean, and then the head of Medusa froze. Am I on the money on that, Ralph? I mean, yeah, it was, yeah. Anyhow, I know I'm getting off.
My mythology and Latin teacher would be rolling over in her grave.
Okay. A Marshall County Sheriff's Office deputy was returning home from an event around 8 o'clock in the evening, and this happened on November the 7th, and he noticed a pickup truck towing a camper driving recklessly with a flat tire of all things. So the deputy, he tries to stop the driver, but that this is where it starts to go south. The driver keeps going anyhow, and the deputy now is chasing him. So now we got a pursuit. As the vehicles are traveling, the camper disconnects from the truck, and now the driver of the truck, without the camper, continues to drive away from the Marshall County deputy. So deputies from McCracken, I love that name, McCracken County Sheriff's Office, and the officers with the Paducah, that's not as cool the name, but they're just police officers. They're not deputies. So I'm, you know, yeah. Like, so I'm, I did you a solid there, Ralph. Okay. Cause I know that you're, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. So Paducah Police Department. So they join in and they're heading to a place called Lone Oak area. Man, they look at the names they have here. As the chase approaches the city limits, a police sergeant tries to use stop sticks to disable the vehicle. And as the suspect passes by, the drivers believe they fired a handgun in the direction of that car. A bullet hits the rear passenger window a few feet from where the sergeant is standing. And the sergeant wasn't injured. But then according to McCracken Sheriff's Office and the agency, the driver also fired shots in the direction of officers. And if you watch the video, there's just shots being fired at everybody. According to the McCracken County Sheriff's Office, these shots are headed or in the direction of the officers in the chase. So McCracken County said that several rounds hit deputies' vehicles in an attempt to end the chase. Officers decide that they're going to do a pit maneuver. And it's not necessarily, look, at this point, it's like, you got to get this guy off the road. I mean, even if the road conditions aren't perfect, or if it's wet out, or there's other drivers there, someone had to make a gutsy call. The suspect, they do a pit. Now, it says the suspect's taken to the local hospital, and the driver's identified as Robert Ray. Well, they're kind of leaving some stuff out. So let me kind of jump in here with my notes. So they do the pit. It's a pretty effective pit at a decent speed. And the guy loses control, shoots across the road, across the field, and he crashes into the side of the house. Now, they take him to the hospital and he ends up dying, but he didn't die from the crash, which is what we're all thinking, right? He it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound, you know, from this guy, the bad guy, Robert Ray, and he kills himself. Investigators said that no law enforcement officers at any point in time fired their weapon during this whole incident, the chase, taking on rounds, incoming fire, everything. And actually no one inside the house that he crashed into reported any injuries as well. So, wow. Chief Schultz, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I'd like to look at the policy manual to see how to handle a situation like this. I mean, I'm being facetious because you've got to think on the ball. And I, man, so many complex factors. You know, the guy's shooting, he's going the wrong way, he's all over the road, high speeds. Do you stop? Do you let him go? Man, a lot of decisions. And it had a relatively happy ending in that no officers were hurt, and thank God nobody in the house was hurt. So, you know, I can't criticize anything the officers did, but this guy must have been like James Bond school of spycraft, because he jettisons the trailer, you know, like an Austin Healey kind of a trick card made by Q. And then the accuracy of those shots coming out of the driver's side, how do you do that? He was actually hitting the police cars. And again, yeah. Just the grace of God that no cops were hurt. You know, we could talk about separate issues about pits. Most of the time that I see something that's identified as a pit maneuvers, it's just a ram, you know, I mean, there is a difference. Yeah, good here. And spike strips, you know, we've seen so many videos where they are marginally effective, where officers are put at risk. Officers are not, you know, safe from the vehicles that are being pursued. So I'm glad that's a tool out there, but I don't think that they're really used in the safest, most effective way most of the time from the videos that we see. But very complex and perversely entertaining event.
I got to compliment Corporal Crown. When being shot at, his voice was calm, cool, collective, which gives a watch commander confidence that somebody knows what he's doing. And the way he articulated everything was so descriptive to a watch commander who's in the station listening to this. You could almost feel like you were there. But I got to tell you, though, this, you know, the tactics that he's describing, hey, he's losing control. He crashed. The wits about Corporal Crown saying, get ready, we could be in a confrontation with this guy in a shooting. You know, and I think he's preparing people and preparing himself by articulating that. The other thing I got to give to all the officers who responded when on scene, the fact that nobody just shot at that vehicle. The emotions are high. being shot at numerous times, going through the car, two different patrol cars, they contained themselves, showed due discipline and strength in that, because I think they looked at what's the backdrop of that is a house. God forbid somebody inside the house they shot. And the other thing I got to tell you, I got to give them the discipline as they're being shot at. Nobody shot outside, because as they're driving, the suspect's going in oncoming traffic. I got to tell you, they did a fabulous job in discipline and tactics dealing with this situation. And I thank God no citizens and no officers are killed. And, you know, the guy took his own life probably because he knew he's up the river.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting chase to watch. Final words, Chief Schultz.
Well, just, you know, a lot of the things that Ralph pointed out about, you know, innocent citizens on the roadway and in the house, that's a thing that a lot of civilians don't recognize, the restraint that police officers exercise, because they're not just out there. We talk about officer survival, but officers are always thinking about the innocents out there. You know, what are my actions going to what repercussions are going to be imposed on the public and on the highways and in the homes and pedestrians. So making a balance between getting a bad guy that could do who knows how much harm if they escape and exercising restraint. I think that was a great point that Ralph pointed out.
You know, if I may, there was a shooting in 1987 with a suspect in South Central, a Mac 11. Two of my former partners, they're going to stop this vehicle. And as you described, Joel, this suspect kept on making left-hand turns and right, a couple left-hand, and he's shooting out with a Mac 11. And eventually he crashes in Athens Park, which was a blood gang in that area, which this guy was a blood gang. And the two deputies had wheel guns. And they're about 6 feet from the back of the car. They shot into the car. And they were out of rounds. Brent Tungett came around. Brent used to play football, defensive lineman for the Seattle Seahawks, comes around with his backup. He's down to a 5-shot and shoots to the back of the window and hits the guy in the shoulder twice, right shoulder, and the guy gave up. But, you know, these are type of things that this incident and that incident, but the incident for the Sheriff's Department in 1987 made us go to the Beretta.
Oh, is that right?
Yep. Yeah. Capacity of rounds.
Yeah. 9mm Beretta. Good gun. Heavy, but good. Hey, guys, you're up for our third commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and attorney Ken Appianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, the founder, Daniel Kelly's got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and also Chief Ralph Ornelas. And guys, I think that we've exhausted the last topic where we had the vehicle chase taken fire from the bad guy during the chase, and he's shooting at guys chasing him. He's shooting at guys trying to do stop sticks on him, and he crashes into the house and dies, and it ends up being a self-inflicted gunshot wound of all things. But you know, we still have a happy ending on that one. If you guys are ready, I'll go back to getting back in order with video number one. Rumble.com again. This is Butters, the name of the channel. 911 calls and body cam released after officer shoots Las Vegas man that's attempting to hit them.
Over here now. Get over here now. Get over here now. Stop! Stop! Okay. The vehicle is traveling westbound on Center.
Plural. You know, we have a couple officers here. So here we go. Now remember, we're kind of relying on like body cam footage and stuff. So it's not necessarily easy to tell. There's some distortion in the perspective of where people are at. I see Ralph nodding his head. When you're watching the video and you're watching the guy shoot at a car that's supposedly coming at them, watching the video, there needs to be a sell the job on that, because the video doesn't necessarily reflect the closeness of the vehicle to the officer. So so here we go. At around 9:45 in the morning on Sunday, December the 14th, Henderson police responded after a person called 911 to report a man and a woman arguing in an apartment complex. So see, that's the first flag, because you know what? If they were in church on that Sunday morning, they wouldn't be in a parking lot arguing and dealing with all this stuff. So I'm just saying that's the first thing. Okay, here we go. So the caller says, somebody's fighting out there. I'm not sure if it's your boyfriend or something, but they're fighting and he's blocking her with the car. And the yelling could be heard in the background while the 911 call is going on. And then the dispatch says, hey, do you know if he hurt her at all? And the guy says, yeah, he was dragging her. He was trying to like drag her into the car. That kind of bumps this call up a notch for the responding officer. So we have two officers, Officer Ernesto Trejo and Officer Riley G. They arrive and they find this guy identified as Avante Webb. He's only 26 years old and he's standing outside his car. The door's open. And now we got body cam video that we're watching on one of the officers. It says Officer Trejo, he's telling the bad guy Webb to approach the patrol car. Just before Webb decides to do the opposite, he gets in the car, closes the door, and he starts to drive towards the officer, according to the article, and he causes the two officers to open fire on him. So when they shoot him, though, he veers to the left and he crashes in the two parked cars. But then he puts it in reverse, shooting stops, puts it in reverse, starts driving forward. And when you're watching the video, it looks like he's just trying to bamboozle and get out of there, because the two officers are on the left and they unload on him again. But again, it's very hard to put things in perspective without, you know, you relying on body cam video with as distorted as it is. It really is difficult to tell distances and stuff. So as he's leaving, of course, he speaks for the officers again, discharged the weapons again during the incident. Trejo and G, the two officers, they fired a total of 14 rounds. Now, remember that. Around 10:06 a.m., Las Vegas Metro Police Department, so this is a different agency, they get a report of a guy suffering from multiple gunshot wounds, and he had arrived at someone's home. And so he was identified as Webb, taken to the hospital in stable condition, and he ended up getting hit 5 times. So 5 out of 14, that ain't too bad for cops. You know, usually we don't have ratios that high. And a criminal records check showed that the bad guy had a criminal history that included several charges in California and Nevada. He probably got a free CDL in California while he was there, Ralph. And then he also went to prison for robbery and failing to stop on a signal from an officer. He faces charges of, and I thought I would throw this in here just to let people know with everything that went on, what the charges were. So assault of a protected person, resisting a public officer with a deadly weapon, violation of a temporary protection order. So there must have been the order between him and that female. Revoked driver's license, duty to stop at an accident with an intended vehicle, and the possession of a firearm by a prohibited person, which tells me he's probably a convicted felon. Commentary on this, guys, we got about 5 minutes. And Ralph, why don't you take this one, Chief Ralph, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, I don't mind. You know, some of that, those police officers, I'm going to comment, and you may not like it either, is that he's ordering the guy to stop, but where's the girl, number one? There's no investigation as he got there. I know he's ordering him to stop, and you should obey a police officer's orders, but as
well, he wanted him to come towards the police car. I think we had two officers there, and
he wanted him to walk to, but he went into the car. He went to the car. So I understand that he's not obeying an order, but where is the girl that was in danger to be able to make that evaluation? I don't see that there. You know, I don't see it in the video. Okay. The other thing, tactics, probably would not have gotten in front. I would have went around the driver's side to put myself where the car is to order this person with my partner, because a car is a weapon. Yes, it is. But the other thing is this, though. When I saw the suspect's car, his wheels were turning to the left before he even shot. And I know it's hard to regards the distance between the vehicle and the officer. But what do you have at that point? Contempt of cop at that moment where he's not obeying his order, but does that require a deadly force situation? Because I got to tell you, the wheels were going in a left-hand turn. And then afterward, after he shot the first time, the guy backed up and turned left and he continued shooting. So you could always justify it because a weapon is a vehicle, but also I got to look at, you know, what is the judgment of this officer at that moment in time? But what didn't even conduct a complete investigation at the time, inquiry, what's happened? I just, it's a lot of questions on that, a lot of questions and tactics and shoot and don't shoot. So go ahead, Joel.
Yeah, I think the justification for all of that would have to be from what the officers who fired, what were their reasonable perceptions from their head and their eyes and the environment. You're right. There's so much distortion, I think, potentially in the views that we had. I would like to have seen a drone overhead view to kind of get a better sense of proximics there. The shooting at the vehicle as it was leaving, and I don't know what the consensus has been across the country as far as professional standards shooting at vehicles. It's such a controversial subject, and there's so many variables. But shooting to prevent an escape, I think the whoever the prosecutor was that preferred these charges did a good job of doing things that helped. And I think it was a real reflection of the intent and actions of the bad guy. But it's going to help the officers in justifying their behavior by talking about the suspect's assaultive behavior. I didn't see a place of escape when the vehicle appeared to be coming to the officer. And so, popping up a couple of rounds, I could understand that. What good that would do? We always have that debate. What good does it do to kill the driver who's coming at you and the car's not going to stop, you know? So just a lot of rapidly moving things. And, from the human performance perspective, so much perceptual distortion going on there in terms of sensory awareness and speed of approach of the vehicle, just really complex. On balance, I think if you had a really strict use of force investigative process for departments that really, really want to keep their thumbs on the officers, I'm not sure how that would go.
Yeah, I've said for a while, because, watching these videos we're past our 10-year anniversary now. So we're in our 11th year right now. But we need to have more training and shooting at and from moving vehicles or occupied vehicles. You can't say that you'll never do it, because there's always going to be a time where it's like saying never use a carotid restraint. Well, if you're in a deadly force situation, guess what? You can use a carotid restraint. So you can't say that there will never be a situation. But I think we need to have more training.
I agree. More training, and also more training in certain tactical situations approaching a vehicle. And also, as you're stopping head on, do you get out of the car as a passenger, confront, or you take a different approach to protect yourself and your partner?
Good point. No, I can't disagree. So, guys, we're out of time. And thank you so much. I know Chief Ralph and Chief Joel Schultz and Ralph Ornelas, thank you guys so much for being on the show. What a great way to wind it up. Next week, we're going to have live shows Monday and Tuesday, and Wednesday and Thursday, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Producer Will is putting some stuff together, and we will have a doctor on the show. And the colonel, we will have Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. So he will be on the show next week. Cool. So a Christmas special. So that'll be nice for Christmas Day. And we might even have him for Christmas Eve as well. So watch for that. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping couples out with PTSD and other issues. Also, Gauls.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, and Gauls is having all kinds of sales right now, guys. Gunlearn.com, Medicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, Two Bells, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. Thanks for the support. We'll see you guys back to next Monday at 12 noon Eastern.